Today on Local Foods, we're going to be talking about tapping maple trees and maple syrup. And maybe if you're like David, you have a few maple trees on your property. And maybe if you're like me, you've thought about tapping them, but you never have gotten around to it. Jim Fruth of Brambleberry Farm in Pequot Lakes is on the phone with us now to offer some encouragement and tell us how it's done. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Maggie.
So you've had a sap run at Brambleberry Farm.
Yes, I have.
When did it start?
And actually, it started last week, but I wasn't ready. But we did get a couple of days of sap run this week.
And is this the normal time for sap to start to flow?
It happens. Maybe 1 year in five, I tap in February. But the other 4 years, I tap in March.
Does the flow stop and start often when it starts up like this?
Yes, usually. The temperature's got to get up to 33, 34, 35 degrees before it starts flowing. But then if you have wind like we've had the last couple of days, it takes a few more degrees to get anything out of it. And I don't know why the wind affects it, but it does.
That sounds like a Tornado Bob question and latent and sensible heat like he was talking about yesterday.
Yeah, some kind of heat in the trees, no doubt. But is maple syruping a lot of work? It seems like, I was going to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the amount of work that goes into it?
Oh, probably about a 4.
A 4?
What's a lot of work is gathering the sap, but then... You know, like I tap 200 trees, and it only takes 2 hours to gather the sap.
And how is that done?
Well, we go around from tree to tree with 5-gallon bottles, and we fill up the bottles and bring it in, and we dump it into a filter, which is then goes down to the evaporator.
So these taps you have, you're not running lines; you just have individual spiles or taps, and you just have a pail on there on each tree?
Well, 50 years ago, I tapped 5,000 trees, all of it plastic tubing, 25 miles of plastic tubing. But that's more than I want to get into now. About half of what we have is buckets, and the other half is milk jugs.
So 5,000 trees, that's incredible.
Yeah.
And how much sap did you get?
Unfortunately, it was not a good year. We did poorly every year we were in operation.
And then last year was a banner year for most of us in northern Minnesota. We got a lot of syrup.
Yeah, last year and the year before were some of my best days for tap. I have to say per tap because there are really fantastic days.
What are some of the basic tools of the trade that a beginner would need to get started making maple syrup?
A portable electric drill, and if you're gonna do it the American way, then with a 7/16 tap, and then you need spiles. Now, curiously, the things you put in the tree are called spiles when you got them in your hand, but the taps when they're in the tree.
Where do you get those? Are there like supply companies or local stores?
There's one local store that I know of. It's in Aiken, and everybody else is supply stores, okay. And the only one I'm aware of that I buy from is in Wisconsin.
What else? Spiles and a drill?
And buckets and bucket covers.
So is it fair to say, Jim, that with about $75 and a little bit of firewood and some sort of a pan, you could be in business and maybe make yourself a gallon or two of syrup without too much more investment than that?
Yeah.
And other than the firewood, you'd have everything for next year and the year after and the year after.
But you don't want to cook it down in your kitchen, because I know people who have cooked it down, and water was dripping everywhere from the ceiling, and pretty soon the whole ceiling fell in.
And the wallpaper comes off.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So there are some tricks to it. How much sap does it take in general to make a quart of syrup?
We usually don't go by quart, but... But with me, it's anywhere between 23 and 35, depending upon the year. And 2 years ago, what the best I've ever had was 23 to 1.
And how do you usually measure the output?
Well, I usually don't count and how many gallons of sap we put in. You know, it's a matter of what we have in a finished product.
Tell us about your operation at Brambleberry Farm. What does your maple syruping operation look like there?
My sugar sack is a frame with canvas over the top. And fortunately, we got the two ends open because we get some terrific storms once in a while. Yesterday, an 80-mile-an-hour wind gust would have blown most things away, but mine's open on both ends, so the wind just goes right through. And my evaporator is a semi-commercial one, and it's 2 feet wide and 8 feet long. And the sap runs in one end and then intermittently comes out the other end. You know, so people ask me, well, how long does it take to boil down to get on the sap? And I can't answer that because it's a continuous process.
Now, are you burning wood or propane?
I burn wood. You want to make the wood as small as possible, relatively, because the smaller it is, the hotter the flame, and the hotter the flame, the faster you make syrup, and also a better quality.
So the evaporator you have, it's 2x8. Does it have those like compartments where it flows around and through different like little roads or something in there?
Yeah, it goes back and forth and back and forth.
Well, as I've been thinking about maple syrup, it seems like the pan is maybe the hardest thing to come by. Where do you get a maple syrup pan?
Well, you can buy them commercially, but then my original evaporator came with pans, but they didn't work nearly as good as something of my own design, so I got rid of them and I made my own, and now I got something that works really well.
And did you weld it?
I had someone weld it for me.
Is it stainless steel?
My boiling pan is stainless steel, but my front pan is made out of black iron.
What is the difference in those pans as the process?
Probably none.
You just boil them either way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I say, the sap runs in one end. The pans are at two different levels. Where the sap runs in, it's at a higher level than the one below. It's operated with floats. I have a tank above that feeds in, and the amount of feed it goes into is run by a float. And then there's another float that goes into the lower pan.
And then when the pan is empty enough that more can come in, it almost automatically feeds it through the float?
The whole thing is automatic. And then another thing that a lot of people aren't aware of is around the edge of the pan, it never boils. It'll get hot, but it never boils. So I do two things. I put a ceramic blanket about 1 inch thick. I paste it on the side of the evaporator, and I inject air. Once I inject air, I make syrup twice as fast as I would if I didn't have air.
And how does that happen?
I run a vacuum cleaner backwards.
Oh.
And that goes into a system of tubing that I made around the pan.
So you've got good constant heat on the outside of the pan, and so you have more surface area that's actually boiling, which leads to more being boiled off faster.
Now, back when we were talking about maple trees, there are five kinds of maple that I tap. There's an amur maple, which is kind of a short, roundish tree. I've got one amur maple, one sugar maple, one red maple, and most of mine are silver maple and box elder. Silver maple is in a lot of people's yards, and box elder is also a maple. It is originally came from Manitoba and it's called Manitoba maple.
And they all make maple syrup?
They all make maple syrup.
Do some have more concentrated sugar than others, or does it have a different flavor?
Yeah, it definitely has a different flavor. Now, a fellow here had relatives in Vermont, and for years he was bragging that my syrup tastes better than theirs. When they were enough of it, had their fill of his ears, they bought their prize-winning syrup from Vermont and picked up some from Massachusetts, some from New York, some from Michigan. They had a taste contest here. Mm-hmm. I wasn't invited. I was told about it later. But anyway, for everybody in attendance, my maple syrup tasted better. And the Vermont people went away mad.
Well, the proof has to be in the taste, right?
And most people tap strictly sugar maple, and a lot of people say, "Well, you don't want to bother with their soft maple." Well, stuffed maple is all I tap, and I get the best flavor.
We're talking with Jim Fruth from Brambleberry Farm in Pequot Lakes. And Jim, after the syruping season, what do you have planned for this year at Brambleberry Farm?
I can get help during the season to bring the sap in, but once we're done, all the help disappears, and I got to clean up by myself.
So, Jim, I had a question. Looking at the forecast here, it looks like it might be another 5, 6, 7 days before we get another run. Have you ever had experience? I've read some places where they say that if you let the tree sit for an extended period of time with no run, that you should go back and re-drill your holes. Do you have any thoughts on that theory?
I've heard of that being done. The reason for for re-drilling the holes is if you don't have a sap run for a while, mold tends to plug it up.
Okay.
Mold or yeast or whatever it is. So then when you re-drill it, then you go back into production.
Have you ever had that happen?
Oh, every year. Usually by the time that's a problem, we're so close to the end of the year that the amount of additional sap I would get isn't worth the time.
Tell us a little bit about Brambleberry Acres, or your Brambleberry Farm, and what other things you produce besides maple syrup there.
I grow 2,000 pounds of fruit on a half acre, and we make jams, jellies, and fruit syrups.
One of the fruit syrups that I noticed on your website was the High Bush Cranberry, and I got myself in a little bit of a pickle, an argument with John Latimer. Tell me about the High Bush Cranberry jelly that you make and how sweet it is.
Most people who make High Bush Cranberry will boil it on the stove and it stinks something terrible. And then when they're done, they have a jelly that tastes good, but it smells like dirty socks.
Oh.
Okay, so what's your secret?
Don't boil it.
Don't boil it.
And I use a pectin called citrus pectin that doesn't require boiling. The pectins you buy in the grocery store all have directions and say boil it. But in the case of High Bush Cranberry, you boil it and it will smell you out of the house.
So how did you learn to grow 2,000 pounds of fruit on half an acre?
Experimenting.
How long have you been in business at Brambleberry?
1994.
94, so that's, 23 years now?
Something like that. And my first year in business was in Aiken County back in 1972.
Okay.
And then there were years in between that when I didn't make anything.
And then you got back into it in 94 and have been in it ever since?
Ever since, yes.
And where can we find some of your jams and jellies and syrups? Can we buy those online?
You can buy them online at bberryfarm.com. That's B as in boy, berryfarm.com.
Bberry, like as in Brambleberry.
Yeah, Bberry. Okay. And if you plug in Brambleberry or if you plug in Jim Fruth, you can still find me, but it takes a little more online maneuvering to find me. And also want to mention that before I get back to maple syrup, cooking maple syrup, I'm making some blackberry syrup now. That'll be a new one for me. We got a bumper crop of blackberries, don't know what to do with them, so we're going to make blackberry syrup.
That sounds delicious. That's Jim Fruth of Brambleberry Farm in Pequot Lakes, and you can check out our website at kaxc.org for his complete list of equipment and his method for making syrup from his presentation at Happy Dancing Turtle this spring, and also a link to his website at Brambleberry Farm. Thank you for talking with us today, Jim.
Okay, thank you, Maggie.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Wednesday Morning Show on Northern Community Radio. Let us know if you're tapping your maples and how the sap is running. You can email us at comments@kaxc.org.